just over 2 years ago, I spoke at Ezra Shalom Zachar about how Shavuos, out of all of the Shlosh HaGalim, seems to be the most passive in terms of the fact that there's no associated Maisa Mitzvah. We don't have a lulav, we don't have matzah. How are we supposed to make the Chag meaningful without these Maisa Mitzvah? And I've honestly felt in some ways that Kriyas HaTorah itself has been a similar struggle for me in terms of listening to Kriyas HaTorah. How are we supposed to conceptualize what we're doing when we're listening to Kriyas HaTorah? Such a seemingly passive activity, how are we supposed to make it meaningful? So this sugya of Amida L'Kriyas HaTorah, standing for Kriyas HaTorah, has provided somewhat of an answer for me. We'll start our discussion really where the sugya ends, which is by the Psak Halacha. The Shulchan Aruch paskins in source number one, in tzarech lamod miyumad be'eit shekoren betorah. You don't have to stand for Kriyas HaTorah. Very simple, very clear cut. The Ramah, however, makes things more complicated. He quotes in the parentheses here, quotes from the Minhag of the Maharam, Yesh machmirim ve'omdin. There are those who are machmir to stand for Kriyas HaTorah. So our job tonight is to try to figure out why would the Maharam have this chumrah? What's the reason behind this chumrah to stand for Kriyas HaTorah? And what does it tell us about the nature of Kriyas HaTorah itself? So before we discuss some of the answers that I've found, and I should mention most of the sources here come from the shiur given by Rabbi Leibowitz. It's written up in Akon Olamo and other BBM articles. So we'll start with the pasuk from Nechemiah. The pasuk is talking about Ezra HaSofer reading the Torah to the Jewish people. It says in source number two, at the end of the pasuk, Ukepitcho amdu kol ha'am. That when Ezra HaSofer opened the Sefer Torah, the people were omdim, amdu kolam. What does amdu mean? So the Tashbetz, when he quotes the minhag of the Maharam to stand for Kriyas HaTorah, in source number three, Maharam haya omed b'shash Kriyas HaTorah, maybe raya me Sefer Nechemiah, ukepitchu amdu kolam. He quotes this pasuk in Nechemiah as a source for why the Maharam stood for Kriyas HaTorah. Why? Lefi apshat mashma amdu b'amina mamish. It sounds from this pasuk that when Ezra HaSofer opened the Sefer Torah, the people who were listening were standing. So what's the problem? It seems like a great source. The issue is that there's a Gemara in Masechet Sota that uses this pasuk, these words, Amdu Kol Ha'am, to teach us something different. Amar Rava Bar Rav Huna, Keman Sheneftach Sefer Torah, Aser L'Saper Afilu B'Dvar Halacha. We learn out of Halacha that you're not allowed to talk once the Sefer Torah is open, Shneamar b'fitcho amdu kol ha'am. Ve'in amida el hashtika. Amida here does not mean standing. It means to be quiet. Shneamar v'ochalti ki lo yidaberu ki amdu lo anuo. The dibor is connected to amdu in a different pasuk. And that's how we know that amdu kol ha'am means the people were shatku, they were quiet. Doesn't really mean that they stood. So now what do we do with our Maharam? What do we do with this being his source according to the Tashbetz? So Rav Sar Shalom says, no one has this minhag to stand for Kriyas HaTorah because we have this drasha in Sota that very clearly says that Amida does not mean Amida, it means Shtika. The Taz in source number 6, however, backs up the Maharam. He says, just because we have a drasha that tells us that Amida means Shtika does not preclude the Pashup Shad of the Pasuk, which means that Amida means standing. He says, Ota Amida, Tzricha Liot B'Shtika. They were standing, and they were quiet. It could mean both. If we look back to the pages of the Mikros Gedolos in Sefer Nechemiah, we see this is even a machloka between Rashi and Ibn Ezra. Rashi translates the words Amdu Kol Ha'am as Shatku Kol Ha'am, based on the Gemara in Sota, and Ibn Ezra says, source number 8, Itachein She'amdu Araglayim L'Kavod HaTorah. It's reasonable to assume that they were standing, as the Pashup Shad of the Pasuk suggests. So that's all one possible answer of how the Maharam got his minhag to stand for Kriyas HaTorah from. The second answer really has nothing to do with Kriyas HaTorah itself, but it has to do with everyone getting an aliyah saying Baruch Hu. So as we go through these answers, we'll kind of see a progression from more technical, kind of pragmatic answers to more, hopefully, ambitious, more meaningful answers as we go on. So this answer has less to do with Kriyas HaTorah, which starts in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah paskins normative Psak Halacha, at least for Ashkenazim, U'b'shas Amiras Baruch Hu, V'anias Baruch Hashem Ivarach, Le'olam Ba'ed L'kulei Amo Tzrichin Lamud, Hu Davish B'Kedusha. When we say Baruch Hu, and Baruch Hashem Ivarach, Le'olam Ba'ed, everyone, you have to stand, everyone agrees you have to stand. Because that's considered a Davar Shebe Kedusha, and at least for Ashkenazim, we stand for Dvarim Shebe Kedusha. So you'll tell me that's fine. What does that have to do with Kriyas HaTorah? I'll stand for Baruch Hu. Whenever someone gets an Aliyah, I'll stand for Baruch Hu, and then I'll sit back down for Kriyas HaTorah. So what's the potential problem? So the Rama Mipano, he writes that what's going to end up happening is people are going to sit for Kriyas HaTorah, and then when it's Baruch Hu again, the next person gets an Aliyah, they're going to forget to get up. They're not going to end up standing up for Kriyas HaTorah, for Baruch Hu. And really, he recommends, therefore, you should stand for Kriyas HaTorah also. That way, we won't end up being seated for Baruch Hu. So that all, that's a suggestion of the Maram Mipano, of the Rama Mipano. And that really only applies for Ashkenazim, as we see in the Kaf HaChaim in Source 11, that he quotes a minhag of the Arizal to sit both for Baruch Hu and for Kriyas HaTorah. So he says that became the Nitpashet HaMinag, to follow the Arizal. The Hasidim and Anshe Maisa would never stand, not for Baruch Hu, not for Kriyas HaTorah. But according to Ashkenazim, definitely stand for Baruch Hu. And the Rama Mipano suggests we should stand for Kriyas HaTorah too, to make sure that we end up standing for Baruch Hu as we should. Again, this answer is less about Kriyas HaTorah per se, and more of a discussion about Baruch Hu. The third answer, offered by the Chuvos V'Hanhagos, really quoting from the Griz, is that Kriyas HaTorah itself is a Davar Shebekedusha. So we have a list in Masechet Megillah of Dvarim Shetzrichin Asara, of actions that we can't perform unless we have 10 people present. Kriyas HaTorah is on that list, amongst other things, like Birkos Kohanim, and benching B'Shem. And the question that Achronim deal with, Rishonim and Achronim deal with, is whether or not, just because it's on the list of Dvarim Shetzrichin Asara, does that automatically mean that it's a Davar Shebekedusha itself? And then, if it is a Davar Shebekedusha, we'd plug in the Mishnah Berurah versus the Kaf HaChaim, trying to figure out who, whether Ashkenazim or Sfarim would stand for it. So, one thing interesting to note here in the Chuvos V'Hanhagos is he says, really, we should be standing for a regular Talmud Torah also, meaning just learning used to be, before Rabbi Gamliel died, that you would stand for Talmud Torah in general. And then what happened was Rabbi Gamliel died and the generations got weaker. And therefore, they allowed you to sit for Talmud Torah. He says, but how do we know that leaning, that Kriyas HaTorah has the same permissibility to sit? Maybe that type of Talmud Torah would still be required to stand. Maybe that they never allowed us to sit for. So he's clearly assuming here, the Chuvos V'Hanhagos quoting the Griz, that Kriyas HaTorah is nothing more than a form of Talmud Torah. It's a little bit more of an elevated Talmud Torah, one that we would have to stand for because it's a Davar Shebe Kedusha. That's answer number three. Answer number four, and there's a few different ways to sort of emphasize it, is that Kriyas HaTorah is not a form of Talmud Torah. Kriyas HaTorah is, in fact, a reenactment of Mamad Har Sinai, of Matan Torah. Wow. So we have to see what that means. The Bach, when he quotes this idea, he sort of downplays it. Not in the sense that he doesn't think it's a real reason, but more in the sense that he doesn't think it's a Psak Halacha from the Maharam. He writes, Nira delav midina hayanoikach. The Maharam wasn't really paskening to stand. As Rav Schechter says, Maharam never told this Baal HaBatim to stand for Kriyas HaTorah, just something he did himself. Why would he do it then if it wasn't really a din? The reason he did it was to get in the game, to get in the zone, to psych himself up for Kriyas HaTorah, the way he felt like he was able to focus and able to envision himself standing at Har Sinai. The only way for him to do that was to stand. That's why he did it, but it wasn't really Medina. And he quotes a Zohar that says something similar. I couldn't find the Zohar. If anyone finds it, that'd be really helpful. But it's La Medina Hayanoikach. It wasn't a real halacha that the Maharam thought you should stand for Kriyas HaTorah. The Eli Rabba in source 14 quotes from the Lechem Chamudos and the Chubos Nachem Azaria, who argues on the Bach, and they say that really was Medina. The Maharam thought it was a real halacha that you have to stand for Kriyas HaTorah. A couple nafkaminas between the Bach and the Chronim quoted in the Eli Rabba, the Mishnah Brura in source 15 quotes the Bach. Then he says, if someone's weak or it's hard for him to stand, then yesh lo leishev. Then he should sit for Kriyas HaTorah. It's not a problem. I'm not sure the Maharam would necessarily disagree with that. But the more you think that it's a real din, that it's really the psak of the Maharam, and not just a nice idea, then probably we'd be less likely to just hand out exceptions. Whereas if you think like the Bach, it's just a way to focus and a way to imagine yourself at Har Sinai, just to get in the zone, so to speak, then maybe it's possible we'd be more willing to hand out exceptions to the idea of standing. The Chubas Ben Hagos in Source 16 quotes another discussion about Yuara. What if you have the whole congregation is sitting, but you want to stand? So is that considered Yuara? Are you kind of showing off your chumras by doing that? So let's plug it back into our machloket. The more we think it's a real din, it's a real psak halacha from the Maharam that you should stand for Kriyas HaTorah, then it's not Yuara. You're holding like a real shita. However, if it's just a nice idea, just to get in the zone, like the Bach would say, then maybe it would be more likely to be characterized as Yuara to stand when everyone else is sitting. The Chubos Ben Hagos himself says he doesn't think it's Yuara because it's not clear that you're standing just to be Mekayim this Maharam. People stand for all types of reasons now, sometimes for ergonomic reasons, or sometimes stam, it's just hard for people to sit. So it's not clear, it's not muchach, that you're doing it out of observing a chumrah, so he doesn't think it would be your either way. Okay. What I want to do now is look through certain examples in Tanakh of a public Kriyas HaTorah and see if we can notice, we're looking for two things here. One is that the Kriyas HaTorah that's public has something to do or connects in some way maybe to Har Sinai, to Mamad Har Sinai and Matan Torah. And the second is whether the people at these public Kriyas were standing or not. So the first example, just to prove that there was standing at Har Sinai, is the recollection of Har Sinai itself in Sefer Devarim. The Pasuk in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud, says, Yom Asher Amadta Lefnei Hashem Elokecha Bechoriv, the day that you stood before Hashem at Har Sinai. Pretty explicit. There are other psukim also that seem to have a lashon similar to Amida that describe Bnei Israel at Har Sinai. It's honestly hard to imagine Matan Torah without the people standing to receive it, at least out of Kavod. But that's the first idea from Tanakh. The first example is Har Sinai itself. Fine. The next example is Hakel. Hakel is a mitzvah in the Torah. We just learned about it a few weeks ago in Daf Yomi, those of us learning Masechet Sota. The Psukim in Vayelech describe how the Melech is supposed to read the Torah, certain parts of Sefer Devarim, to the people, all the people who are gathered together, and it's on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, after Shemitah year. It's a big assembly of all the Jewish people. The Psukim themselves are very closely linked To the different descriptions of Matan Torah and Har Sinai. Very, very similar linguistic parallels. And the Rambam, when he describes who's supposed to go to Hakel and certain potential exceptions, he's very emphatic that Hakel is a recreation of Matan Torah. He writes in Source 18, Gerim she'ena makirin, let's say you don't know Hebrew, even if you're underqualified to be there, you're not going to understand what's going on. You have to listen to the same Eman Yira as if it's the day the Torah is given. And even if you're overqualified, you already know the words of the Torah. You know what the Melech is going to say, and you know what it means. You still have to go and concentrate and have a lot of Kavana. Even someone who's unable to hear at all has to go to Hakel and has to have Kavana and has to imagine as if he's receiving these commandments, the Torah itself, from Hashem. The Melech is serving as the Shliach of Hashem to deliver the words of the Torah. So very clearly, both in the Pesukim and in the Rambam, there's connections between Hakel and Matan Torah. How do we know whether or not the people were standing in Hakel? So it's a little bit of a discussion. And some people think that even if the people were standing in Hakel, maybe it has more to do with Kavod of the Melech. There are certain opinions out there. But at least Asfat Emet in Source 19 says very clearly, Tzrichin lamod b'Hakel kemo b'Har Sinai b'Ema b'Yira. Of course they stood at Hakel the same way that they stood at Har Sinai. The next example in Tanakh comes from Sefer Melachim, where the Melech Yoshiyahu, as part of his crusade against idolatry, against the Avodah Zarah, he gathers all the Jewish people together, Perichav Gimel, and Pasuk Bet, it describes how all the people were supposed to be there, Kala Am, L'mikaton, V'ad Gadol, people of all ages were supposed to gather to hear Divrei Sefer HaBris. In Pasuk Gimel, at the end, it says, Yamod kol ha'am bebris, that they all stood as part of renewing this covenant, bebris, seemingly harking back to the original bris, which was, of course, made with Hashem at Har Sinai. This Pasuk is actually quoted by the Mordechai in Source 21 as a reason for the Maram's Minag to stand for Kriyas HaTorah. Ram haya omed be'esha kriyas ha-Torah b'shasha malin ha-Tinok, also by Bris Milah, a separate discussion. Ve'hevi rayim in ha-Pasuk ve'yamod kol ha'am be'bris. He uses this Pasuk from Sefer Melachim as a proof that you're supposed to stand for kriyas ha-Torah according to the Maharam. The last example from Tanakh is one we've already seen already, the Pasuk in Sefer Nehemiah. Just to provide a little more context, Ezra Sofer is reading the Torah to the Jewish people. Not just Stam, but it was part of the return from Galus. This was a monumental occasion in Jewish history. And again, as we saw, Kepitchu Amdu Kol Ha'am, when the Sefer Torah was open, all the people stopped. All the people stood, at least according to some Mefarshim. Again, we see from all these different examples in Tanakh, we have a public Kriyas HaTorah that's in some way either patterned after Matan Torah and or the people were standing for it. So you might suggest, you might say, that all makes sense, to stand for a public Kriyas HaTorah like that, where you're gathering all the people in the Jewish nation together, something like in the days of Ezra, where everyone's supposed to be there. That makes sense that the people should stand, but how do I know in my shul, every Shabbos, every Monday, Thursday, that I'm supposed to stand for Kriyas HaTorah too? Isn't that a much smaller scale? How can I, you know, learn that out from much bigger gatherings? So either you could suggest, as the Mordechai and as the Tashbetz have, that's where the Maharam draws his minhag from, even though it is a bigger gathering. He understands that it's more about the Kriya than about the number of people who are there. Or we could arrive at the same conclusion that Torah reading is patterned after Matan Torah as a recreation of Matan Torah from a different source completely, and that's the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik. And he looked at the Yerushalmi in Source 23. There are two specific halachos that apply to the Meturgaman. The Meturgaman was someone who translated the Torah. So the Baal Kori would read from the Torah, Meturgeman would translate, and the people would listen to the Meturgeman's translation so that they could understand the Kriyas HaTorah. The Yerushalmi quotes two different halachos about the Meturgeman. One is that he can't lean on something. He can't be sitting and he can't lean. He has to stand straight up, the Gemara says. Kishem shenitna be'ema ubeyira, kach anu tzrichim linhog ba be'ema ubeyira. Just like the Torah was given with a certain sense of awe and trepidation, we have to treat it that way too. And therefore, the Meturgeman is not allowed to lean. Another halacha, they quote a story where someone got up to be the Baal Kore and the Meturgeman. He wanted to do both. And they said, Asor lecha, kishem shenitna al yedei sirsor, kach anu tzrichim linhog ba al yedei sirsor. Just as the Torah was given through an intermediary, a middleman, Moshe Rabbeinu was part of the Matan Torah process, so too, you can't have the same person reading the words of the Torah and translating them. The Rambam even paskins the din in source number 24, in a Meturgeman Nishana, lo la'amod lo l'kore, elo omed be'emo be'yira. The Meturgeman is not allowed to lean, he has to stand be'emo be'yira. So the Rav says in source 25 so beautifully, it's very clear from these psuk, from these halachu, that the Meturgeman, that our Kriyas HaTorah is patterned after Matan Torah. Nira al pi anal, source 25, the kol Kriyas HaTorah havek Matan Torah. It's very clear that every Kriyas HaTorah is like a new Matan Torah. And how does everyone map to the same positions that they were at Matan Torah? The Baal Korei hu kai b'makom Hashchina. The Baal Korei is like we saw by Hakel. He's like the shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Baal Korei functions as. Shehu mashmiya at haTorah kederek shehashmiya HaKadosh Baruch Hu at haTorah leYisrael. And the Meturgeman, shehu mekabel haTorah meBaal Korei. He's the first recipient of the words of the Torah directly from the Baal Korei. Alav chal chobat hadin shal kabalat haTorah be'ema b'yira. This idea that you have to treat our Kriyas HaTorah be'ema b'yira like Har Sinai, that falls on the person who's receiving it directly from the Baal Korei, typically the Meturgeman. But he says, what happens nowadays? We don't have a Meturgeman anymore. Hine bizmanenu she'en Meturgeman, she'en Meturgeman, v'atzibor mekablin ba'atzman amat haTorah mipi haBaal Korei. And the people are receiving the Torah themselves directly from the Baal Korei. Imkein nira dechal chobat amida kol atzibor b'shak Kriyas HaTorah. Now, if everyone listening to the Baal Korei nowadays without a Meturgeman, we're hearing it directly, we're the first level recipients of the Kriya. Even though we've seen so many poskim who clearly think that there's no such din of amida when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, that was only back then. Now everyone has to stand for Kriyas HaTorah, again, which is patterned after Matan Torah, Har Sinai, because we are the first level recipients of the words of the Torah from the Baal Korei. Just to conclude, I think it's very clear from these different examples in Tanakh and sort of how they're being used by the poskim to justify the Maharam's minhag to stand, as well as this idea from the Rav, a very compelling thought that Kriyas HaTorah is patterned after Matan Torah, and we have the opportunity to view each Kriyas HaTorah as a recreation, a reenactment of Matan Torah. But interestingly enough, there are two other examples in Halacha, at least that I found, that have very similar ideas. The idea of Ki'ilu Kibla Mehar Sinai. There are other ways to make Ki'ilu Kibla moments. The Rambam in Source 26, Paskins Afa Pisha Nichalo Abosav Sefer Torah Mitzvah Lichto Mishalo. Even though you've inherited a Sefer Torah, you should write your own. Im kizvu biyado, areyu ki'ilu kibla mehar Sinai. And if you write a Sefer Torah, that's ki'ilu kibla. That's as if you're receiving the Torah right now from Har Sinai. Source 27, the Gemara in Kedushin, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, kol melamed as ben bino Torah, ma'ale alav akasu ki'ilu kibla mehar Sinai, shne'amar v'adatum levanecha levnei banecha. If you teach your grandson Torah, that's also a Ki'ilu Kibla moment. That's Ki'ilu Kibla Mehar Sinai. I think a very, very clear theme emerges from these examples of us having the power, the really the obligation within halacha to create kilu kiblu moments. And when we think about Shavuos and we think about the Chag of Matan Torah, there is no more active idea that I can think of than truly reenacting Matan Torah and truly viewing not just the Kriyas HaTorah, but also the Kriyas HaTorah as reenactment of Har Sinai, but also understanding and thinking about ways we can incorporate this into our lives, intergenerational learning, writing our own Sefer Torah and to generalize, making Torah our own. Chazal and Halacha have made it very easy for us to tap into Matan Torah, to tap into Har Sinai, and to make ourselves and give our families Ki'ilu Kibla moments.